In, somebody say, in my hand. Say, I hold the book of life. Say, according to this book, my life is destined for greatness. Say, with the seed of God's word, I will produce abundant fruit. And with confidence, I confess that God has a purpose and a plan. Say it again, and a plan for my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Bless God, bless God. Do I see somebody over there I haven't seen in a while? Hey, man. Good to see you, brother. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, this will be the last Sunday, as you know, of this year, and we're going to end our focus this year, which has been where destiny meets purpose, and we've been discussing destiny, and we've been discussing purpose throughout the entire year. And in this last teaching, we have been talking about investing into your destiny. And so we want to share some more of that today and in this today as well. I'm going to ask you, if you have your Bibles, if you would go with me to the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, if you can get that chapter, which is 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, please. I want to go over what we've already shared so that we can all be on the same page, but be fully understanding of where God has taken us and what God has been sharing with us for the sole purpose of making sure we have a better view of what our destiny is and how to achieve that. And so I mentioned that investing in your destiny will help you to achieve two things. One, it can give you an expected end, which is hope in a future. So when you invest in your destiny, you are investing in something you are expecting to come into. So it gives you an expected end, which is hope in a future. Second, it can give you freedom from external controls and influences other than God. When you make an effort and a commitment to invest in your destiny, you are basically stating that you are taking control of your future. And it is freeing you up from the external things that will try to influence that. God should be the only one who has the influence on your destiny. It should not be your job. It should not be the government. No person or a group of people should have control over your future. So, again, investing in your destiny will help you to achieve two things. It gives you an expected end, which is a hope in a future, and it gives you freedom from external controls and influences. Three things that we must understand about the mind of God as an investor. We talked about it, but it's important we go over this again. And that is, number one, that God is strategic. Simply means that everything that he does is intentional. Everything. Now, I really want you to capture that. Everything that God does is intentional. It's not by accident. It's not by mistake. It is not God saying he is hoping something will turn out a certain way. No, it is always strategic. Second, God is selective. He seeks to invest in those who are investable. And that simply means that if you are determined and you are committed to fulfilling your destiny, then God is waiting to invest in that or in your future. Now, we can clearly see evidence of that in the parables of the talents. And we all know that story. There were three who received talents, and only two did something with the talents. Only two invested. The third who did not, that talent that they had was taken from them and given to the one who had the greatest investment. So let me say it again. God is selective. He seeks to invest in those that are investable. The third is that as an investor, God is always more than willing to invest in those who want to do his will. Now, we are again looking from this and seeing God as an investor. He is God. He is creator. He is father. But he is also an investor. And so he is more than willing to invest in those who want to do his will. If you have a desire to do the will of God, get ready, because he is willing to invest. The key to investing in one's self is to apply biblical principles, which is where we left off last week. As I stated before, it is not enough to just say I have faith or to believe in the promises of God or to declare the word of God, that is to declare it prophetically. We must also apply principles to our faith and to the knowledge of the promises of God. So the key to investing in oneself is applying biblical principles. The Bible is the final authority for all things, and it is the closest thing that you will find on earth that deals in absolute truths. God provides principles for living. He provides principles to protect us. He also provides principles to help us to prosper. And when these principles are seen as necessary or a necessary part of our investment in our destiny, then and then alone will we excel, overcome obstacles, and fulfill our destiny. So biblical principles are essential. They are the key to investing in yourself and in your destiny. What are the biblical principles? Well, we've given you one, or the first one rather, which is the principle of work. Even when it comes to our salvation, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 tells us that we must work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So though we receive salvation by grace and not by work, the Bible says, as you have received it, you must also work it out. So if there's work that must be put into your salvation, then what about your destiny? Are you with me? What about your future? Work is critical to investing in your destiny. So many scriptures confirm that. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, if any man don't work, neither should he eat. Work is necessary. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 tells us that we can enjoy the good of our labor. What is labor? Work. And Psalms 128, verse 1, and you can read it to verse 6. It says that we can also eat of the fruit of our labor. Labor, again, is work. So work is essential. It is a critical part of investing in our destiny. Second principle is obedience. Somebody repeat after me. Say, God will. God will. Come on, everybody say it. Say, God will, God will. Always, always reward obedience. God will always reward obedience. There will never be a time when you obey God that God will not reward you. Are you listening to me? He will always reward obedience. Now, I stated this before, that what good is it to have faith and not be obedient? What good is it to say that you have faith, but you don't obey? Obedience is one of those principles that comes without an option. Did you hear what I just said? In other words, we must obey. It is not an option. Now, it is only an option if you decide to go a different route and suffer the consequences of that decision. But when you obey, God will reward you. So obedience is a principle that you connect and mix in with these other investments we talked about, which is your faith, which is having knowledge of the word of God and declaring and decreeing the word as well. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, 22, it tells us that obedience is better than a sacrifice. In Isaiah chapter 1, God said, if you would be willing and obedient. It's a principle. If we learn to obey, it will make it much more easier for us to come into our destiny. I asked the question last time, and the question was, what does God command that we do for him to continue to bless us? What is it that God is commanding of you to do so that he can continue to bless you? I want you to write down, well, you should be there, Deuteronomy chapter 30. You can write down verse 9 to 16. We're not going to read all those verses, but we're going to read verse 16 if you're there. Here's what verse 16 says. I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgment, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God shall bless you. Somebody say, bless you. Yes. He shall bless you in the land where you go to possess. So listen, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what part of the country you are in. It doesn't matter if you relocate to another part of the world. God's going to bless you if you obey. He's going to bless your destiny if you obey. Third principle is the principle of the law of sowing and reaping. Now, this is another principle that comes with no options. In other words, it must be followed in order to fully benefit from it. Can you say amen? The law of sowing and reaping. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 6, everyone, please. Let's go there. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Let me read it while some of you are turning there. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Verse 8, for he that sow to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It is a principle with no option. It must be applied. It must be obeyed. And once you apply this principle to your destiny, you're going to reap. Now, there are two ways this principle will work for our good. Number one is by giving to the kingdom of God, or we can say the work of the ministry. Number two is by helping or blessing others. If you really want this principle to work in your life, where it can cause you to flourish, where you can invest in your own destiny to a point where you get greater return, then consider these two things. Give to the kingdom of God or the work of God, or be a blessing to someone. Can you say amen? Proverbs tells us in chapter 19, 17, he that hath pity on the poor is like lending to the Lord. And he which he has given, or whatever he or she has given, God's going to make sure you get it back. I love that. Amen. So it is never in vain when you are being a blessing to someone. It is never in vain when you are blessing the kingdom of God or the work of God or the ministry of God. Do not take this principle lightly. I assure you, you may not see the return today. But if you operate in this principle, it is like investing in your destiny, which is your future. So do not underestimate the law of sowing and reaping. Principle number four, and that is stewardship. I told you that every one of you qualified as a steward. Every one of us. And how is that? Listen to me. If you have ever received anything from God, that makes you a steward. If you have a gift, if you have a talent, if God has given you an ability or a skill, whatever he has given you has qualified you to be a steward. The role of a steward is to be a caretaker over what they have been given that may not necessarily be theirs. So the principle of stewardship is someone who manages what they have been given. Are you listening to me today? You are a steward because God has given you something. Hello, somebody. You have something in you. Take that principle of stewardship and use it wisely. Here's what 1 Peter tells us in chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. You can note it, write it down, or go there. I want to read it out of the Contemporary Translation. It says, each of you have been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. So, use your gift well, he says. If you have the gift of speaking, there's another gift there. Somebody can have that gift. They speak well. They articulate things. They expound upon things so well. He says, even preach, he says, God's message. If you have the gift of helping others, and there are people out there, they do well. You can depend on them. You can call upon them. They love to help people. He says, do it with the strength that God has supplied you. Everything should be done in a way that will bring honor to God because of Jesus Christ, who is glorious and powerful forever. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. So you are a steward, and you have to see that. You have to value yourself as being a steward. Why? Well, because your destiny is at stake. If you don't invest in your destiny and manage whatever God has given you well, I am telling you today, no one else will. So become the best steward that you can be in whatever God has given you. Because whatever God has given you is supposed to help you get to your destiny. Praise the Lord. Let me give you this next principle. And that is the principle of character. It is a principle. The principle of character. In the book of John, chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Now, what was he implying when he gave that statement? He was implying that he possesses the same characteristics of his Father. We are one. So he can say to his disciples and those who he was teaching and following him, he said, if you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. We have the same characteristics. Now, I want you to understand and see the value of this being a principle, because this biblical principle of character means we carry the same characteristics as Christ. We are, in essence, you can say, we are Christ-like. Jesus said to his disciples one day in John chapter 13, two verses, 34 and 35, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Then he says in verse 35, but this shall all men know, that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That's my character. My character is love. And if you want to represent me and display my characteristics, one of the things he said you must do, it's not an option, is that you have to learn to love. And he said, when you love one another, the world will see me. They see my character. This is a valuable principle, because character is one of those qualities that we have that set standards. They are not determined, our character is not determined by external things, but rather by conviction within. When you have character, this principle of character, you have standards. Are you listening to me? There are things that you will not do that will violate your standards because of your character. It doesn't matter where you are, if you are away from your home, your house, if you are alone in your home, it doesn't matter. Your character is who you are. And if you can behold this principle, It will bring value to your destiny because it is an investment in your destiny. A person of character is someone who is reliable, honest, someone who draws their values from within. So I don't care how many people outnumber me in something that I disagree with them on, even if I'm the only one standing while everybody else is standing for something else, I'm going to stand on my character. And that has been the problem and the weakness that we have when it comes to politicians. They have no characters. They have no character. I mean, it's horrible. They are bad examples. And so we see this biblical character principle in Christ. And if we can look to Christ and see that principle, the Bible teaches us that we are like Christ. We are Christ-like. We have, in essence, his character. Character is something we must learn to value. Jesus, he lived by the principle of character. And that is why none of his critics nor the devil was able to stop him from fulfilling his destiny. No matter how many accusations they brought against him, no matter how many situations they put him in to try to tempt him, he stood on his character. Why? Because he had a destiny. Is that making sense to anybody? The principle of character is an investment in your destiny. And you must see it as such. And so as we seek to develop Christ-like character, you can say, our actions will reflect the right virtues as well as the right way of thinking. When you don't have this principle of character, your thinking is wrong. Hello, somebody. You have the wrong thoughts. And when you have the wrong thoughts, you engage yourself in things that stains your character, that portrays the wrong look and the wrong image of Christ in which you represents. I love what Philippians tells us in chapter 2, verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Christ Jesus. So everything about us, our mind, the way we think, the way we behave, the way we respond, what we say, should be a characteristic, should be an example of Christ. Character is a principle. I have seen so many people make so much more progress because of their character. They may not have had the best skills. They may have not had the best abilities. Maybe they didn't speak the best. Maybe they didn't have the power of influence like some great people. But the one thing they had, Elder Dave, was character. Come on, y'all. They had character. And having that character became an investment in their destiny. And it took them a long way. It took them to places that others didn't even imagine that they will ever get to. Because they were looking externally. They were looking at other things. Character is a conviction that you have within. Can you say amen? Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 7. These are principles we must value. They are extremely important to investing in our destiny. As I've said many times since we started teaching this a few weeks ago, having faith is a wonderful thing. The Bible encourages that. It tells us explicitly that you cannot come to God without it. Knowing the promises of God is extremely important because it brings to light what God says in his word that we can stand upon and believe in. It's beautiful. Being able to speak with authority and with confidence and declare something or to proclaim something is also a wonderful thing. But these investments is never enough. We already know what James tells us. To have faith without works, he says, is dead, meaning that faith is not enough. And that's why it is essential to take these principles and to mix them with your faith, to mix them with the knowledge of the promises of God, and to believe that as you declare the word of God, because you stand on these principles, it will bring you into your destiny. The next principle I'll give you, and we're going to read it, is the principle of the golden rule. That's what they call it. It's the principle of the golden rule. It is where people have taken the scripture here. If you got Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, where Jesus says, basically, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Here's what it says. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. Why? For this is the law and the prophet. It's the principle of the golden rule. If you do unto others as you will have them to do unto you, you can go a long way in life. Have you ever heard the term or the statement where you got to be careful not to burn bridges, you know? Because one day you may need to cross back over it. You have to live by a certain principle that will cause you to maintain certain connections and relationships, because you never know. Well, God will bring them full circle right back into your life. I know many stories. I've had experiences of my own where people you have forgotten about, that you've done something for, or you were a blessing to them, or whatever it may be, 5, 10, 15 years down the road, you come in contact with them again, and they're sitting on the board. And once they find out it's you, they say, no interview. Bring them on. It's the principle of the golden rule. You do unto others as you will have them to do unto you. You know, God is always watching us, by the way. He's watching what we say. He's watching how we treat one another. There's a saying my old pastor used to say that has stuck with me. God is not watching so much of what they do to you, but he's watching what you do to them. Does that make sense to anybody? Listen, if they do anything to you, don't worry about it. God will take care of them. But remember now who you represent. It is who you represent that should concern you. So doing unto others as you will have them do unto you is a principle that is also beneficial to your destiny. I would hate to do something to someone, let's say 10 years ago, that I forgot and I never corrected, I never resolved it. And they show up in my life and I need to get to the next level, and they're right in front. They're right there waiting. And what they remember is not something good. They remember something bad. Do unto others as you will have them do unto you. It's a principle that is beneficial to your destiny. I promise you that you will be rewarded by what you do more than what someone would do to you. Be careful what you say and how you speak. Because words in itself, as we know, the scripture tells us, have power. It's not the sticks and stones that will break my bones and names will never hurt me. No, words will destroy you. Words will kill you. Words will wound you for years and years to come. So doing for others is not in form of action and in something physical. It is in words too. Can I get an amen? It is how in which we speak and communicate to others as well. So again, these principles are all essential to the investment of our destiny. And I challenge you, as you close out this year, to keep in mind how much God is willing to get involved in your life. And to never underestimate or to overlook what God has already given you. You have a destiny that God wants to fulfill. So don't reduce your character down to any form of compromise just to get ahead. Wait your turn. Be patient. It is better to be obedient than to do anything else. Somebody say, my day is coming. Come on, say, my day is coming. Oh, I assure you, God is going to work it out for you, and he's going to make sure he put things in place to help you get to where you need to be. But do not, And I emphasize one more time, do not neglect or reject the principles. Don't do it. There are laws in place to bless you, to protect you, to prosper you. Can you all say amen? I want to end it here. I'm going to ask you to go to, we're going to go to the book of Psalms. I think that's where we want to go. No. Yeah. Let's go to the book of Psalms. And we're going to end and read the scriptures there. Psalms 24, I believe that's what I want. Psalms chapter 24. Hallelujah. Father, we love you today, Lord. We adore you today. And we honor you. As we offer our lives to you and we give them to you as a sacrifice. In the book of Psalms, chapter 24, and I want to start at verse 4. And we'll end it there and pray. If you got to say amen. Verse 4 said, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Stop for a second there. We're going to read another verse, but stop for a second there. As I stated earlier, God is always watching us. He's watching how we use our gifts or whatever it is he has given us. He's watching how we conduct our lives. And he's taking account of that as well. Jesus made it clear to us that the words in which we speak, we are going to give an account for that as well. Every idle word, he says. The scripture tells us that he that lifts up his hands with a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, here's what happens in verse 5. He shall receive, it says in verse 5, the blessings from the Lord. Are you listening? Avoiding these things that will distract us or interfere with our destiny puts us in a position to receive blessings from the Lord. Verse 5, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. It's not just the blessings God's going to stop with, but everything else in your life, God's going to help you get it right. Oh my God, that's wonderful. He's going to make sure his righteousness prevail in your life. The blessings will come to you, but man, you will have the kind of character and you will get the kind of attention from people where people say, there's something about you. You're special. You're unique. You're different because of the righteousness of God on your life. Who wouldn't want that? I want to jump to verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And who is this King of glory? It is the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. So lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting door, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? It is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Salah. You can go ahead, sir. Your destiny brings glory to God. Did you hear what Pastor just said? You fulfilling your destiny brings glory to God. Because God is more than willing to invest in those who is willing to do his will. And God's will for your life is for you to fulfill your purpose and to come into your destiny. Jesus fulfilling his purpose and coming to his destiny, it brought glory to God. And that's why he was able to say, Father, glorify yourself now. Let your glory come because of what he did and what he fulfilled. It brought glory to God. It brings glory to God when you fulfill your destiny. Don't take it lightly. But commit yourself to the will of God, and God will bring those things to pass in your life. I want you to all close your book at this time and stand to your feet. as we close out this last Sunday of this year, celebrating and thanking God for the things that He has done, for being committed to seeing us fulfill our destiny. Father, we are so grateful that you have selected and you have chosen us, that you put in us and saw something in us that is of so much value, that you are willing to also invest even more. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us throughout this year, giving us the knowledge and the understanding of your word that has also inspired us to be more committed to fulfilling our destiny. We know that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives, and you want us to fulfill it. And we have to recognize, Father, that even though you have given us a purpose, and even though you have given us a destiny, we are the ones who must fulfill it. We must guard it. We must keep it. We must protect it. And as we've been sharing today, we must invest in our destiny. I want you to lift your hands where you're standing. I don't know what's been on your mind. I'm sure you have been busy taking care of yourself and your family and your children, and work has been a part of that as well. But I really want you to see yourself in a different light and to place value on the right things. Sure, we have to appreciate work because work helps provide and supply the things that we need. But as I stated earlier, when you invest in your destiny, you are investing in a brighter future. You are giving yourself an expected end. But you're also freeing yourself from the external things that may have influence over your destiny, such as your job. I want you to see the value in yourself that God has put in you, and make the contribution to investing more into coming into whatever it is that God has destined for you. Everything else will work itself out. Bring glory to God, in other words, by fulfilling your purpose and your destiny. Father, I thank you for the people that are here today and those that may be listening to the sound of my voice who have embraced this teaching, who see the need and the value of investing in their destiny and making sure that they're not getting distracted by the world and the things of life, that they're not going astray and doing other things that will delay them, but they will be like you and they will be strategic and be intentional in everything that they do that relates to their destiny. I pray for the families, for the children. I pray for everyone here today that their eyes be open, that they will see what eyes have not seen that you have stored for them. And they will take it and they will run with it. And they will hold it dear to their heart. I bless your people. I bless this word. And he that has an ear to hear, may you hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, may the church say amen. Amen. God bless you.